So we're mentioning the Chazal over there, Rosh Hashanah, Chazayin Amdei. Taisa says it's all one idea, basically. Shir Nakri and the same thing with the these three things of Maskev and Maskev and Ashalom. Shir Nakri and Ian Tila and most Din HaChavera. It means a certain feeling, that inherent feeling of an inherent narcissistic feeling that a person has. Why does a person walk under a wall that about to cave in? Because he feels nothing can happen to me. Nothing can happen to me. That feels. That feeling is the source, is what is Moscow and Asher. Same thing with this tefillah. Feels God is going to answer my tefillah. A certain inherent feeling of superiority he has. And same thing with this chavar. This chavar, he is certain that he is right and this chavar is wrong. You can see the flaw in this chavar, and he has the feeling that with regard to him, he definitely is the tzaddik. That sense, that feeling, does not come from an objective evaluation of the situation. It doesn't come from the reality principle of man. It comes from another part of his nature. I think what the Chazal mean is that emotion, that sense, is what is responsible for a person's bad judgment on the Yom HaDin. That emotion is the most dangerous thing in man. That's what the Chazal says. Beautiful Chazal. And that's why tefillah really is a dangerous thing. I mean, you have to be misfollowed, but you have to be sure to avoid the primitive type of tefillah. The tefillah of the chacham. That's the most underlying principle, the most underlying sort of tefillah. Well, that's what I mentioned last time. But Meisr Azna Mishmar Devitara, come tefillah to Tawela. Not just, he wasn't misfollowed. It's an abomination. You have to know. Without Seichel, without Chachma, there is no Torah. There is no Torah. Just because a person is Meschaven and Davin and has Kavana does not mean that his Tila is good. Not only that, it could be horrible. Yeah, that's the Gemara. That's the Alimut Shabbayach. Shalosam Chotenet Ahem, Shem and Shachem and Achim and Shachem. That's the whole idea. Because you have to understand that if Yadis has a different God, so naturally it has to have a different tefillah. Its tefillah is inherently related to God. It has to be different. It is totally different. Okay. Very difficult parak in the Rambam. It's parak gimel mehuchas tshuva. Okay. I'm not going to answer all the questions, with regard to the parak, but I'd like to at least try to open up what the basic idea in the Rambam is. Okay? We have to go through a little bit of the facts of the parak first. All right, and the Rambam starts like this. The Rambam starts off, he says like this. Kol echad ve'echad b'nei adam yesh lo shtei svaronos. Every person in the world has mitzvos, Vavonis, and he has sins. Okay. Koshes for Yosef, Yiseros, Alavonos, of any person whose merits are greater than his sins is a tzaddik, righteous person. That's the definition of a tzaddik. Mishavonos of Yiseros, Alavonos, for Yosef, a person whose sins are more than his merits, than his mitzvos, is considered a Russian. Machts of a machsaf, he's 50-50, so he's a benini in between. V'chein ha-medina, the Rambam says, and also medina means a country. Emoyu zechuyos kol yoshvei merubo salavano sayana reizu tzedekes. Emoyu v'nasein budmo reizu reshet. V'chein, and the same thing applies to a medina, to a government, a country. And then the chain kol olam kulon, the same thing with regard to the entire world. Okay. Now, he says, a person, Adam Shavanosav Mubnotskiyosav, a person whose sins are greater than his merits, Miyadu Meis, Barisho, immediately dies with his sin. Shenema Arova Vonva, what's a possible? The chain medina, and also a government, a country, Shavanosam Marubin, whose sins are more plentiful than their merits, miyad hiyoveres, it is immediately destroyed. Shenema, the pasuk says, zarkas don v'amora ki rabba. That the cry of Sodom and Amora is great, meaning the sins are great. The cry means the cry from the people who are oppressed, the ones who are oppressed. The same thing with the entire world. If their sins are greater than their merits, the world is destroyed. It's not just a pasuk in Bereishis, a ma'aseh shehaya, vayara Hashem ki rabba ro'as ha'adam, but it's a general rule. Why? Because very simple. How do you know it's a general rule? It's not just a specific event that took place. Because the prophet says, and the Hashem lo shanisi, it's based upon God's judgment, and God doesn't change, just like he judged the people at that time, so he judges them now as well. So if it happened in the past, it has to, the same rule has to apply. Now the laws of God don't change. Then the Rambam qualifies, and he says like this, the shikul's there, and this evaluation, it doesn't go by simply counting the mitzvahs. A person did 100 mitzvahs and did 50 others. But it has to do with their weightiness, the weightiness of the import of the mitzvahs and the averus. Yesh zuchuchi keneged kamavonos. Sometimes there's a merit that could be weighed against many avonos. Shenem ayan mitzvah davato. Pasuk says, everything around the pasuk. Yan is about Dovatel, means one thing was good. Of course, he had a good thing, so that's why he wasn't destroyed. The Yeshav and Shehu can again be Kamas of Yishan, Rachot Efet Yovatel Harbor. All right. Ram again quotes a Pasuk. Everything, Ram quotes a Pasuk of everything. You have to wonder sometimes, why does Ram quote a Pasuk of everything over here? It seems to be a logical thing. You don't have to be Gemara says, Svarahi, Lovely Crow. If it's something logical, you don't need a Pasuk. All right. What? Then shall bedaito shall kail deos. And the only way you could weigh this, the only way this evaluation takes place is through God's knowledge. Only God knows how to make this judgment and how to make this evaluation. No human being has any idea of it. All right. They have ideas, but the ideas are close. So it comes out from the Rambam that the Yachid and the country and the even the entire world, kol olam kulo. You see, it's they're right when they say the world is in danger of being destroyed, but not because of the directly because of the nuclear not because of nuclear problem. The problem is more basic. You have to go down to the source of the problem. The source of the problem is with the Rambam. The world is in jeopardy. Okay. I got it. I want to make sure I have it. Okay. Yeah, it's moving on. Okay, now. So the Rambam's like this. Now the Rambam goes on, and he brings in that case where a person has charat on, I'm doing this. Now it's like this. Kishin, he goes back. What that's doing there, I say, is a problem. But he goes back. So just like they weigh a person's mitzvahs and averus at the time of his death, kach b'chol shana v'shana shokten avonos kol echod v'echod miboi olam. So too, every year, God weighs the sins of every living creature, and he weighs them against his merits. The Yom Tov Shel Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, the person who is found to be a tzaddik is immediately sealed for life. And a person who is discovered as a Rasha is immediately is sealed for death. Va'benini, and the one who is a benini in between, the in between person, the one who is machza or machza, tolan osad yom kippur. So what they do is they suspend him. He's suspended, so to speak, until yom kippur. Im osad tshuva, if the person did tshuva, nechtam l'chaim. So he's sealed for life. Ve'im lav, nechtam l'nisa. He didn't do tshuva, so then he's sealed to death. Apparently, he learns differently than Tosfos. Because Teishvus learned that whenever it says L'chaim and with regard to Nechama Malka L'chaim, Teishvus learns different than Rambam would say. Because Teishvus learns, what does it mean L'chaim? It's like this. L'chol zeh the kori hocha gabi rishoyim nisa v'gabi tzadikim chayim l'oma l'chay yom abah. Teishvus says. Teishvus in Rosh Hashanah, it's not referring to Zachrein L'chaim, it's not referring to Chayim Teishvus, not for life on this world. It's chay yom abah. That's what it has to do with chay yom abah. But the Rambam seems to learn the Gemara is referring to the Chai Olam Hazeh. Because the Rambam is talking about Olam Hazeh there. Now, at any rate, Teishvus goes on, the Rambam goes on, and then he goes into that well-known Rambam about Kiyas Shofar. Rosh Hashanah is a process, but there's a remnant in the Kiyas Shofar. And what is the purpose of the Kiyas Shofar? To make a person awake from his sleep and to investigate his deeds and to repent, to do tshuva, and to remember God. Elo ashochem esa'emes bahavle azman v'shogim kol shnosan behevel v'rik. These people that forget the truth, forget reality, and just waste their entire lives in emptiness and nonsense. It means basically that people are just involved in acting out certain psychological fantasies most of their lives, but they don't exist in the, they have no relationship to the world of reality, to their true existence. So he says that habitu v'nafshasechem, so to look at your souls and improve your ways, and each one of you should leave his evil way and his thoughts and intentions that are not good. And the Rambam goes on and says, therefore, a person should see himself, visualize himself all year long as if he's abandoning. He's 50-50. V'chein kol olam chetzio zakai v'chetzio chayav. And he should look at the world as being half abandoning, the world abandoning. So therefore, what happens like this? If he does one sin, so what he did was he tipped the balance of the scale for himself and for the entire world to the side of Chova. He did a sin, right? And he caused the destruction. He can cause universal destruction by one action. And also he says, conversely, if he does one mitzvah, so then he tips the scale, his own scale and the scale of the world for the good. And he causes he himself and them a tshuva and a hatzalah. He saves the world. Shenema v'tzadik yisod olam. The tzadik is the foundation of the world. Zeshet tzadak. That's what it means. Tzaddik is said olam. Tzaddik is the foundation of the world. What does it mean? Tzaddik is the foundation of the world. Is that one person who's a tzaddik can tip the balance and be machriya the entire world in favor of the force, and therefore God will continue their existence. And then he says, and because of this, he says, Nein is that because there's no go called basis of the harbos with stucco, the mice and toes and velasas, the mitzvahs, and the rashana, the idiomic, and from yes, and the kalashana. That's why people, the minig of Father's role is to be involved in mitzvahs, and to be involved in mitzvahs, and to do good deeds, and to give stucco between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur more than all year round. Nein is that, what is it? Exactly what it was playing into all that. Said a lot of things before. But the Noah Bukulam, he says, and the minig of all of them is, Lachan Bukulam means all the different various Batei Dinim and Hagim, okay? The Ashkenazim, Sephardim, there's no difference. Lachan Balaila Basari Yom Neilu, to get up at nighttime in these 10 days, will follow the Batei Knesios. And the mispawl and shul, the divrei tachnunim of the kibushim, atche yor hayom. That's the source. This is point to the Rambam. That's slichus. Main slichus is really 5 days. Okay. between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Asaras Yemei Teshuva. So you have 3 days are gone because you have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and 1 day Yom Kippur. And then the Shabbos is four. And then you have Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur is one. So Ram was mentioned by Erev. Could be one of the 6 days.
Right.
Yeah, before they fill, they have 10. That's right. Yeah. Let's make 10. Yeah. That's right. Make up for the 10. Okay, now the Ram goes on. It's like this. Here comes the little block. When they weigh the sins of a person, this is a difficult realm. In Zuchu Yosef, when God takes out the scale and weighs the avonos against the mitzvahs, Ein mechashvin olav avon shechata botchila. They don't count the first sin. Velo sheni, and not the second one. Elo mishlishi vela, from the third one on. First two don't count. Okay. By the way, there's an internal question here. There's an internal question on up to hey also, an internal question in the Rambam. What's the internal question in the Rambam? It's an interesting question, but it seems pretty obvious. It's a famous question. Everybody asks the question. The question is, the Rambam said before that a person is a Beinoni, so on Rosh Hashanah, what happens? It's stolen. So they suspend his judgment until Yom Kippur. What do they wait to see?
If he does tshuva.
The question they ask is, why does the Rambam have to say wait until he does tshuva? He doesn't do another mitzvah.
Right.
That's the kasha. Famous kasha. Why do they have to be tshuva? If he's a Beinoni, so it says stolen means suspend his so wait, so let him do one mitzvah. Now he's one mitzvah. Now he's not a Beinoni anymore. Now he's a tzaddik. Right? Okay. Anyways, good question. What? Yeah, right. So that was a good question.
Yeah, that's
good. That's a question. Internal question. Internal question. Okay. Now let's play this. Be sure Shashokman Avonos Odon know, but you don't know the value. God knows the value.
Oh, yeah. But you don't know
what, it says unless he does tshuva, he's not going to get a good judgment. But we'll let him do it. If he does one mitzvah, he'll get a good judgment. That's the question. God knows what to do out of way. So why are you trying to punish him? He doesn't do tshuva, he dies.
The question is, why a baby that gets him?
Why the baby gets me silly? That's
Yeah, all right.
Now the Rambam goes into how God weighs the. This is the Rambam's interpretation, by the way. Not everybody learns this. You get this from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Ravid argues on him. But this is the way the Rambam interprets. It's a tefillah that we say all the time. Okay? So what does that mean, Mavir Rishon Rishon? So Rambam explains that the first two don't count, right? The third one is where God starts counting. Now, so he counts from the third one on. Now he sees if the sins from the third one on are greater than what? Than his chusim, than his merits. Osam shtei avonos mitstar from the donos alakol. So these two averis, the first two, are added into the pile, and he gets and he's judged. He's meted out judgment, punishment for the whole bunch of them. Okay?
Right.
All right. But now, okay. So in other words, God takes those first two, holds them on the side for a while. Takes a look at the rest of them. Sees how they are with respect to his mitzvahs. If it comes out that the Averis are more than the mitzvahs, he throws the first one into the pile and he gets punishment for all of them. That's the Rambam. Okay? Now he says, well, what happens next? But if the merits are exactly equal to the averus, Hashem may avon shlishi ve'elach. But if the merits are exactly equal in the third one on, in other words, let's say, for instance, just to give a case numerically, let's say he has 10 mitzvahs, he has 10 mitzvahs and 12 averus. So the first two don't count, the first two are held on the side. So it comes out that what does he have? He's equal, 10 and 10, 12 averus, 10 mitzvahs. The first two are held on the side, just to say all those are off. Weigh the other one, becomes a 10 and 10 is exactly 50-50, right? 50-50. So he says like this. So the Rambam says, Ma'avirin kol avonos of Rishon. So then God takes away, removes, wipes off, throws aside his averus rishon, one at a time. Has the work one at a time, but like this. Lefisha shlishi nechshav rishon. Because now the third one is considered what? Considered the first one. Shekvayim chlashnayim, but the first two are gone. There's mochel the first two. V'chein harvi yarei rishon shekvayim chlashlishi. But now after God forgives the third one, it comes that the fourth one is also the first one. So therefore now he doesn't have a fourth one. Now four are gone, and what's the number five? But number five, this is the fourth are gone. Number five, since the first four are gone, so now number five is number one. Number one is always...
It's getting to 10 mitzvah. Why is it going?
No. All is averus are forgiven one at a time. The first two are gone, so therefore
the first of there is always gone. The
first two.
Yes, now you're the first two are gone.
Separate rule.
Separate rule of Maharisha. Not because Maharisha. You get to 10 mitzvahs that are like in this case.
Now, the rule is Maharisha. Maharisha. So then God passes away every Avera one at a time, because the first one he always forgives.
Right.
Two are gone, three is number one, gone. Now four is number one, that one goes, five number one. Keeps, he goes to two, and man has no more variable. Okay, the chain at 12 one, straight through to the end. All right. And then the Ram goes on and says, Bamed Ramun B'yachad. That's only by Yachad, by an individual. But Shinamak was a Pasuk, Hein Kolele Yifal Kael Pamim Sholo Shinzal. All right, with a regular person, it's three. So the third one is the first one. Avalat Tibor Tolan Lahen Avon Rishon Sheni Ushlishi. But when God judges a congregation, a group of people, so then the first three he holds off. Shinemal Shlosha Pisheshalala Bola. The fourth one I won't let them get away. Which means to say the first three he holds in abeyance until he spends them. And then he weighs the rest. The same method, but it's just a matter of whether it's the first two or the first three. Whether an individual is the first two, and with the tzibur, it's the first three. Okay. And it's like Shemachashon Adaras and Machashon Merviveh. That's the same way. The only thing is it's from Merviveh. Okay. Then the Rambam goes on to a different thing with Anachas Tfilin, different point. Okay, that's basically the end of the Rambam, the system of how God weighs the various and the spheres. All right. So there's an internal contradiction here in the Rambam again. What's the internal contradiction? Internal contradiction is like this. Difficult question. Rambam contradicts himself from the previous Rambam to this one. Why? Because the Rambam said before that what happens to the Beinoni? What is the plight of the Beinoni? What's the plight of the Beinoni? The Beinoni is the one who's 50-50. And what do we say about the Beinoni? We say that if he does tshuva, then he's forgiven. If he doesn't do tshuva, he's not forgiven. But there's a big problem. Problem is, why does he have to do tshuva? What about Mava Rishon? Rambam says openly, that the Beinoni, the third Avera becomes the first. Okay, knock that one off. Number four, that's number one. Boom, keep going, knock them all down like dominoes. Just go one after another. Okay. That's the case. So why do we have to do tshuva? That's the question. An internal contradiction. That's a good question. Well, Rodney is asking. Rodney is not. Yes. That's right. That's a good question. Rodney is a good question. Yes, Rabbi Feinman is asking a good question. The question is that why do you have to be maver each and region? Why do you have to take off one? Why don't you just say you take off one and now it's a tzaddik? Why do you have to take off? Why do you have to be maver each and region? Why do you have to go through the whole group and remove them all? Okay. This question. Yeah. So the Kesef Mishnah raises the question. Kesef Mishnah, Beis Yosef. A very logical, logical person. So he saw this problem, and the Machaber saw the problem, and he raised the question right away. Kesef Mishnah is fantastic. His Pirush on the Rambam, like very straight, logical. See right away the internal contradiction problem. So he suggests an answer, a solution. His answer is that when the Rambam says about this Mavir Rishon, the Rambam is not discussing a person on Rosh Hashanah. He's discussing a person the Yom Misasa. Because the Rambam already said before that there's two times that they weigh the sin. Mm-hmm. One time is Misa, and the second time is Rosh Hashanah. So he said that the Rambam over here, with this business of Mavir Rishon Rishon, is discussing when they weigh the person's mitzvahs and averus on the day of his death. So now you have no more kasha. Because when the Rambam said before that the Beinoni was Nechem, Lemisa, and Lesed Des Tshuva, right? That's by Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, where he's alive, he can do Tshuva. But where he dies, when he dies, then he can't do Tshuva anymore. So then it's Mavir Rishon Rishon. Then it's Mavir Rishon Rishon. And the only problem is, the Rambam doesn't seem to be saying that, because the Rambam goes on and he says, "Avala tzibor tola land of on rishon shen yishlishi shenema shlosha pishal abola shivena." What's talking about the tzibor? Tzibor talking about the tzibor in Olam Haba. So he says yes, because you do find that there's a judgment for a tzibor. There's a type of judgment for a tzibor, like a judgment for a tzibor. Like the Gemara says, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, what's the case of Sanhedrin? Okay, Dora Flaga ain't gonna fell on a bar. Dora Mabel, the Gemara says, they see where the whole door is judged also. That's his answer. I find the answer difficult because it doesn't seem, when the Sulaw was people telling, I'm speaking about a very specific case of a tzibor. It seems he's speaking about a regular tzibor. Shlosha pishiv shol abo lo shiven is talking about a tzibor here. Not talking about the tzibor in Olam Haba. Okay? The answer is a bit difficult. Yeah. Moreover, I have a raya that it's not so. It's in the fact that we say in the Kael Melech, Yoshev Kisei Rachim, that you say many times every morning in Slichas, you say, I don't think we're asking for Olam Haba there. It's on right now. Not being the spell for Olam Haba, it's on for now. So it seems Mavir Rishon Rishon, from the Tefillah, it seems, referring to the here and now, not for Olam Haba. I guess the mission is the answer is very difficult. Very difficult. It's hard to accept that the Rambam was discussing Olam Haba. But then if you don't take his answer is a very logical answer. But the only problem is that conceptually it raises questions. It's difficult to accept conceptually. But if you don't take his answer, you're stuck with a logical problem. Problem is that why does he have to do tshuva If in fact it's Mavir Rishon Rishon, so God takes away the Averis by himself, so what do you have to have tshuva for? That's the problem. What do you have to do tshuva? And if he does tshuva on the Averis, so we know a person that does tshuva on the Averis, we send the question, the person does tshuva on the Averis, if he's a Beni, he does tshuva on the Averis, so he has no more Averis. Now he's a tzaddik. All right, Averis are gone, he's a tzaddik. So what does God have to do Mavir Rishon Rishon for? You don't need God to do Mavir Rishon Rishon. Because he all his Averis are gone. Like the Rambam says, nothing stands in the way of Tshuva. Tshuva is totally wipes out any Averis. If he never did the Averis in his life, it even becomes a mitzvah. He's a greater tzaddik than the person who never did the Averis. Oh, so you don't have to have Mavir Rishon Rishon. You don't need for Mavir Rishon Rishon. Also, something else is difficult. The Rambam says that the first two Averis don't count. First two Averis don't count. So it'll come out, like somebody mentioned before, that a person... That I don't mean that I'm not saying that a person can do intentionally the first Averis. That's a different question. But that would seem clearly not, because you could. I'll explain to you why. But the more overt question is, if the first two Averis don't count, so it come out a person doesn't have to be tshuva on the first two Averis. Doesn't necessarily have to be tshuva on the first two Averis. I don't see anywhere in the Rambam of tshuva. But the Rambam distinguishes in the first Averis between the first Averis, the second Averis, the third Averis. No distinction. Rambam seems to say pretty clearly, Kol mitzvah shibatara bein asei ben loos asei mov adam alachas man bein bezod men bishgoda kishi yase tshuva yoshin echato chayil uzvada shnei akel baruch hu shenemar ishu ishkash mitzvah uchatas adam. And Vidi, and what did he say? He says, Ona Hashem chotasi yovisi pashatu lefanechu asisi kach v'kach. So you see from the Rambam that on every mitzvah, unless it's a tshuva, and the Rambam says later, he says, "Ain't a miskapra she is vada v'yoshiv milasas gzel ola shenem mikol chatas adam." The person's on the miskapra, his very first halacha, not his tshuva. Nothing can help him unless he does tshuva. He doesn't do tshuva, it's not going to help him. Even if he, even with regard to schaver, if he pays him back for what he stole from him, or if he damages him, still won't help him. The schaver's mochel still will not help him unless he does tshuva. Because the Rambam says clearly that a person that does it right before in the end of Perek Beis, a person does a chote lachavero, so a person sins against his chaver, so he has to ask him for mechila. And then it says, the yom echneim chatasi l'Hashem l'kei Yisrael l'ploni zeh shekaf v'kachosisi l'Rambam. So when a person sins against his chaver, it's a double sin. It's a sin against his chaver, sin against God. So you see, it's a double sin around. It's clear. So you see, there's no way without tshuva, it seems there's no way that the aver is not called. No way. And here the Rambam seems to say the first two don't count. So it seemed to be the first two of the year, because if God weighs it every year, and he does the process of Mavir Rishon Rishon, now they're all gone. And I start over again. Yeah. Seems so. Well, it seems so. Seen the first three of you. So it's a good question what Jeff is asking. That they will come out of session at you, it's only for abandoning.
We're all
so you say, but if we're abandoned, then it wouldn't need a session at you and Yom Kippur. I mean, a session at you would be Yom Kippur. The times of me and Yom Kippur, all the others. It's impossible. Okay. The whole Rambam sounds funny, the whole Perek Gimel. I mean, all the mathematics with this method, what does God need this method for? And the whole thing sounds like strange. What is this? I mean, before you read the first two Prakim Milk of Tshuva, the Rambam goes through the finest points of Tshuva and what Tshuva is and the details of Tshuva and everything. All of a sudden, with this Perek, he comes in with this new system and the something funny here. What's going on in the Rambam? That's what we have to understand.
We had a couple general, it
takes it out of the whole framework of the rationale of tshuva. And the person's, the state of the person's soul is the important thing. And what do we need all this faith bring us for? What is it? Say, God judges, and that's it. Say, God judges. What do we care? What are we so concerned with how he judges? And what do we care about his method, about modification? What are we getting involved with? The whole business with himself. Well, simply, a person, the state of a person's soul is known to God, and God judges him, and that's it. What is this whole business with? That's the problem. I'm simply going off on a totally different track. You see, I think the Rambam, there's no doubt, the Rambam in Parag Gimel is really going into a totally different area. It has to do with tshuva. It has to do with tshuva. But basically, the Rambam already set forth in the first two prakim, which really consists of actually 15 halachas. The first 15 halachas really set forth the main ideas of tshuva. He doesn't, only Perek Zion comes back a little bit again to the benefits of tshuva. He talks more philosophically in Perek Zion. But the plan of tshuva already set forth in Aleph and Beis, Perek Aleph and Beis. What is this area in Perek Zion? So I think the area, and also we have to understand what is this whole idea. This whole idea about, you'll notice, the Rambam talks about a Yochid and a Tzibor and the whole world. What is it getting into? I think the Perek Gimel is a different phenomenon altogether. There's two things. There are two totally different tracks in which tshuva is involved. One is a person's relationship to God, the status of a person's soul, how a person relates to God. That's in Perek Aleph and Beis. That's already the Rambam defined already. But now there's a second thing, a different aspect, totally different aspect. What is a different aspect? The different aspect that is mentioned in Perek Shlishi is the laws with, insofar as we know, as far as we understand, the laws that God uses insofar as the continuation of the earth's existence, of human life on earth. You see, that's a different thing altogether. A totally different thing. In other words, let's say for instance, a person that's chatoy. Person that's chatoy means that he's insofar as he has sins, obviously he's removed from God. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any difference between tzadik gomer and tzadik sheino gomer. You're going to break all the categories. If the moment, as a matter of fact, the Beni is going to become a tzaddik, because Ma'av Rishon, Rishon, the Beni is a tzaddik, so what's the benefit of the tzaddik? There's no more virus? You say, no. Insofar as the person's relationship to God, there's a big difference. Even if a person has one more chay than another person, he's on a different level. His relationship to God is different. You say. But insofar as Kiyum Ha'olam is concerned, insofar as how God's law, in terms of the world's existence, in terms of human existence, that's a totally different thing. This has to do with God's tolerance insofar as his will. We say tolerance, all these things, I mean, they're only adjectives that we borrow, homonyms like homonyms, but it's something that can give us an idea of how to express it. But what it means is, insofar as God's judgment as to the continuation of human life on this planet. There's a judgment that God has with regard to the life that takes place in this universe, in this planet, in our planet, human life. That is a totally different system. There we have to understand what exactly the boundaries are, what the guidelines are. You have some places in the Torah that discuss it. One of the places is, for instance, the Mabul. That means that there's a different method of judgment after the Mabul than before, as far as the continuation of human existence. The Shua, God made the Shua. I have to understand what it is and everything. But you see that there's an area, a different area. So you can have a world in which there are many, many Chatoyim taking place. And basically, insofar as how the people relate to God, it might not be too good. But that doesn't mean God's going to destroy them. It doesn't mean God's going to destroy them. They may not be relating to God properly, but nevertheless, God will allow them, will sustain their existence. So he will sustain their existence. So there's two halachas in tshuva. One halacha, really, I would say, you could tie to Chai Olam Haba. He's a person's inherent chelek in Olam Haba. What is chelek in Olam Haba? That has to do with the Rambam in the first department, nothing to do with Plato. has to do with what level the person's on. What is Chol Olam Haba? The third perek has to do with a different phenomenon altogether. It has to do with the laws that God uses. What does God use with? Well, how much, what does God tolerate insofar as chet is concerned in terms of continuing human existence? You see. So, perek gimel is a totally different thing. Now, tshuva plays a role in perek gimel. But that is not, tshuva is not essential anymore. In other words, tshuva plays an essential role in perek aleph and perek beis. But insofar as perek gimel is concerned, it plays a role, but it's subsumed under a greater framework. The framework of the laws with which God governs the world and decides whether we will continue to exist or not continue to exist, whether this earthly life is going to continue or will stop, you say. Perikim is a totally different thing. Okay. Now you understand very well the answer to the last question we asked. Why is it that the first two averis, a person will say he doesn't have to do what you want? God doesn't count them? If he's abandoned, they don't count. Not only don't they count, but now the next ones will be knocked off consecutively, and then he doesn't have anything to be worried about. The answer is that's only Mavir Rishon Rishon. The process of Mavir Rishon Rishon is only insofar as the continuation of human existence is concerned. That's Mavir Rishon Rishon. You see? But not insofar as his personal relationship with God. Not insofar as human perfection. Insofar as human perfection is concerned, the first chait, unless he does tshuva on the first chait, he is still in a state of imperfection. There's no question about it. And now you can understand another thing. The Rambam says that it depends on, he says, a yochid, God holds off the first two, suspends the first two. But a tzibur is the first three. Well, what's the difference? A tzibur is made up of a lot of yechidim. So why is a tzibur different than a yachid? A group is made up of a lot of individuals. So why is a tzibur different? The answer is it's different insofar as God's laws of continuing their existence is concerned. Insofar as the yachid is concerned, it is not God's will that a yachid should continue if his... If it's a verse in the first three and on, he only has only the first two. First two means to say that he's not a ruggle yet bavera. The person's not a ruggle bavera, the first two. Those are the means of first two. He's not a ruggle bavera. So God doesn't judge him in the first two chatoim because that's why later it says God throws in the first two if he's a Russia. Because if in fact he turns out to be a Russia, so then the first two count also. Because there's no difference now. He's a rebel by there. But if it turns out he's a Benny, the first two don't count. You see, because God is judging whether the person is a rebel by there or not. First two can't tell. Of course, all this thing is only descriptive. God doesn't have to count these. It means to say that the ideas are true, but not the method. God doesn't have to count. Just giving you a description. But it means to say the first two times that a person sins, he's not yet a rebel by there. Not a part of his nature yet. It's not a part of his nature yet. The nature is established from the third one on. And of course, the third one on doesn't mean you count one, two, three. It's only God knows how to make the discussion. But it means, the Rama point makes a point of that. Only God knows how to make the discussion. But it means to say that his nature with regard to Avera is not established yet. But however, if you see he's in Russia, his nature is established, that he's an established Russia. So then the first two are symptomatic of an inherent part of his nature. It's not just the first two. So then it's counted. But if he's abandoned me, in fact, so then the first two are not an inherent part of his nature. So then it doesn't count. Yeah. Now, what I'm saying is that with regard to what does it mean, mochel and lo? It says that the mahar rishon. You see, there's another thing. If a person is a Benini, it doesn't mean if a person is a Benini that his Avera is a number. Mavir Rishon Rishon, that's impossible. Plus, in terms of human perfection, unless it's true, it's enough. Yeah. What it means like this, what it means is there's two halachas, again, there's two areas with regard to tshuva. One is insofar as his personal perfection. The other one is insofar as things that take place in this world. God has a law insofar as this world is concerned. God doesn't destroy a person the moment he doesn't have it. There'd be no world. Nobody could live. You see. So God creates a situation where man is entitled to live. God gives man a situation. It's up to him. He has to live according to the way he sees fit. And if he lives properly, he's not. But there's a certain law as far as existence over here. He doesn't have value. He's not going to get destroyed. If a person got punished for every avera that he did, you understand people would be in great pain, constant torment. There wouldn't be any human life. So what the Rambam is saying, that's Mavarishu, which means like this. It means insofar as being nadun, judged in this world, being punished in this world, God doesn't punish people in this world for every avera. What he does is like this. If the person is abandoned, then he's Mavarishu. Means to say he will not receive any punishment for this faith. He'll be healthy, he can walk down the street, he can enjoy himself. It doesn't mean because the fact that he's doing it, he's enjoying life, that he's a tzaddik gamur. He has averus. What happened to the ownership for those averus? If he got an owner for every one of his averus, he would be in a total state of pain. Then there'd be no human life. God doesn't say that's not God's world. What God does is Mavarishu. Mavarishu means that he's not going to be punished for those averus. He's not nadun for those averus. It doesn't mean that the state of his soul is in the state of perfection. It doesn't mean he's not going to get a judgment in Olam HaBa. Not talking about that. It doesn't mean he's going to have the biggest chelv in Olam HaBa. He obviously has a chelv in Olam HaBa. But it doesn't mean he's going to have the biggest chelv. It only means insofar as this world is concerned, God does not judge him. It's Mavarishu. That's a Mavarishu. That's human resistance. And the same thing applies to a yachid, applies to a group also. But a group, God judges differently. Because with a tzibur, you're dealing with a different kind of phenomena. And God doesn't destroy a whole tzibur, because a tzibur is a community. A community, God, the area of human perfection per se, which was discussed in the first two plachim, but the area of how God judges the world. That I think that concept is clear from the ideas in the Rambam. Yes. Now it's like this. Yeah, now it's an interesting thing. A very interesting thing emerges from this Rambam. If that's the case, and it would seem that that's what the Rambam's talking about, I could prove it to you, because the Rambam talks a lot, not just about the Yachid. Rambam talks about the Tzibur, he talks about the entire world. The entire world. Why is it mentioned the entire world? The answer is because it's a question of the continuation of human existence on this planet. And the truth of the matter is that according to our philosophy, according to Yadis, human life is in danger. The danger is if the whole world is a world of Rishoyim, then our whole existence will cease. That's it. Well, that's the story with Avraham Avinu's dome. And Yesh, the Phoenician tzaddik in the Zohar, born tzaddik in the Zohar. What was Avraham Avinu arguing with God? That was a question of whether the community should be destroyed, weighing the schusim of the tzaddik and the merits of the tzaddik against the whole city. Okay? Avraham Avinu was getting involved in God's judgment, God's method of judgment. We can't do that, but Avraham Avinu apparently had some insight into the method and was able to have a discourse with God on how to judge the city. But that's basically Kiyum. As a matter of fact, Ram quotes the Pasuk from Sodom, one of the Kiyum quotes it. So that's a whole different department. Now, it's interesting. So the Rambam says that the Rambam mentions that Beinoni, I want to make one thing clear to you. You think that Beinoni is like, what are we, Rambam says we have to be concerned, of course, in the Gemara Kedushin, which if you just read the Gemara Kedushin, you take it metaphorically. But the Rambam takes it literally. The Gemara says that a person should be concerned that maybe the whole world is 50-50, and maybe he's 50-50, so therefore one mitzvah tips the scale, and one avera tips it the other way. Okay? So you have to understand, what are the chances going to be exactly 50-50? You have to understand what the Rambam says before. The Rambam says it's far-fetched. But the answer, truth of the matter is, even if it's far-fetched, if something is a great danger, even a far-fetched thing is something that the person is concerned about. But aside from that, we don't know exactly what Beinoni is. Beinoni could be a wide range. We don't know specifically what the range of Beinoni is. It doesn't say. That's why the Rambam says that only God could judge what a bein mean is. A bein mean could have a certain range. It doesn't necessarily mean it specifically, mathematically, worked up to the exact same amount. It means there's a range of bein mean. We don't know what exactly. Range of bein mean could be a wide range. Okay. At any rate, the Rambam says an interesting thing. So the Rambam says that a person apparently is chayav to be involved. He is obligated to involve himself, to be concerned not only about his state, his continued existence, but about the continued existence of the community and the continued existence of the world. Okay? And it's an interesting thing that the Rambam says that's why we get up for slichas. So most people think, what's the purpose of slichas? Slichas is for the yachid. I want to save my wife. Rambam says no. Purpose of slichas is, that's what Rambam says, because of this, we're no way to do mitzvahs more between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, and to get up early in the morning and say slichas and viduyim and tachnunim. Why? Because of this very idea. Because of kiyum ha'olam. And that's why you say kel malach yeshel kisulachim and mochal avon asama mavarishin rishin. What are you talking about in slichas? You're talking about the continuation of the existence of the world. It's an obligation on a person to be concerned about continued existence of the world. That's really the purpose of slichas and Rosh Hashanah. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So, given that that concept, it throws the whole paragimel into a totally different framework. Okay, that's basically the framework of the of paragimel. But I want to add one thing. It was raised by the Kesef Mishle. Difficult question. If it's 50-50, so why does he have to be chozer b'tshuva? All right? But I want to say it like this. I'm thinking of this. That in tshuva, there's two things in tshuva. One thing in tshuva is a person does tshuva on a certain avera, so he's mumcha. He's forgiven for the avera, no matter what it is. That's tshuva, that's it. Gone. But the second thing is in tshuva, and we mentioned this once before, that tshuva really, what does tshuva really mean? Tshuva means a return. What is return? Return where? It means a return to God. Lashuv al Hashem, return to God. So what does it, that's why in tshuva you have to say Ono Hashem. In Ono Hashem, it means, Ono Hashem means that if, it's an interesting thing. There's a pasuk in Vashanan, and it's also a pasuk in Tzavim Vayelach. I don't know which one it is. Where the pasuk says, "V'yadata hayom v'ashevosa el levavecha, that Hashem hu alokim b'shamayim mimal v'alorotz mitachas ina." V'yadata hayom v'ashevosa el levavecha. So the Sefuno says over there, that's the mitzvah tshuva. The Rambam is over there. That's the mitzvah of tshuva. What is v'yadata yom v'shavos el levavecha? So Hashem who with him. What it means is like this. What it means is that really in every chet that a person does, there's a turning away from God, which means that it's not just a psul and a maisa. See, you have to get away from a childish idea of tshuva. Childish idea of tshuva, I did an avera, now I'm not going to do it anymore, God forgive me. That's okay for a second grader. But the real idea of tshuva is that a person in doing a chait, his relationship to God is broken. What does it mean, his relationship to God is broken? It means his das Hashem is broken. His das Hashem, his knowledge of God is affected. It has to do with everything in Yad, it has to do with das. He was that. So it means a person is a balavera, is das Hashem, there's some defect in his das Hashem. Everything boils down to the person's das Hashem. That's why when a person does tshuva, he may be doing tshuva on a particular avera, but the process of tshuva is supposed to be one which brings him into a different relationship with God. And it changes his Das Hashem, yes?
And the Rambam says, well, it says, Halacha Dalet.
Yeah. Ah, you see? That's very good, very good. How he's quoting the Rampet Shishi Allah Dal. That Shom was not Shem. So the ultimate purpose, and the Rambam talks about a lot in Hilchos Teshuva. It's an interesting thing. Is the Yedias Hashem in Hilchos Teshuva? He has it here in Perek Vav. Here it's just Biyodi Acheerzo Va'Oven Ve'Eda Derech Emes. You see, and then the Rambam in the end of Perek Yud, where the Rambam says talks about Avas Hashem, and that a person's Ava is in line with is in the same proportion to his knowledge. There's Das. What does that have to do with Teshuva? If Teshuva is just I didn't have it, I'm not going to do it anymore. What is it? The answer is Teshuva really is where a person, the true Baal Teshuva, when he understands a chait that he does, he realizes the chait comes from a lack of Das Hashem. And he has to change. When he changes, his Das Hashem changes. Everything, any progress that a person makes is always in relationship to God. Okay, that's a good question. In other words, a psychological problem, the person has a psychological disease, so what happens is follows. When we say a person is Das Hashem, we're not talking only about his abstract intellectual comprehension, but it's talking about the very essence of his soul, which means that if a person has a Das Hashem, he has some abstract idea which is unrelated to his nature and his life and his personality, it's not really considered Das Hashem. It's not considered this person under the influence of the knowledge. A person can have a knowledge that something is harmful, but if he engages in that performance, so it means that at that moment that knowledge somehow doesn't affect his personality. The person knows that that something is poisonous. The person is addicted. So it means that at the moment of his addiction, at that time, he may know this is a harmful thing, but at that time, he pushes it out of his mind. So his soul really is unrelated to that knowledge. When we say knowledge, and when the Rambam says knowledge, the Rambam means not simply the abstract notion, but it means besides the abstract notion, it means that the notion should be a part of his makeup, should affect his makeup. Now, the person has a psychological disorientation, depends. And in most instances, what happens is that it prevents him from attaining a certain knowledge. But sometimes the person would be considered, like by Shaul HaMelech, it's not considered, he's not praised for it. The Torah does say, take away from his greatness, he lost the Malucha because of that. But at the same time, it doesn't condemn him because apparently there were certain factors there that may not have been totally under his control. I mean, it's only God to judge. But the basic idea of knowledge is not just knowledge in terms of abstract thought. Knowledge is also dependent upon how the knowledge relates to the person. The person doesn't affect them in any way. A person has knowledge of business and he goes around squandering his money, living crazy, making crazy investments. He may have abstract knowledge or something wrong with him. He's unrelated to the knowledge. So what did this knowledge do to his personality? Knowledge of God, of course, has to affect the personality in some way. Even in some way it can, but it has to affect his personality, but not to the degree that it should. That's why you have to have tshuva. Tshuva means that the person investigates his character, his personality, his traits, his actions, his deeds, in order to remove the psychological impediments that prevent them from having the knowledge being a part of his nature. And this itself also permits him to see certain ideas in relationship to God, which he would never be able to see before. Psychological prevents a person from advancing knowledge because people look at things in a psychological manner, a psychological way. Psychology affects a person very strongly. A person has a need for material security. It's very hard for them to relate to God, without them to perceive God. His emotions don't permit them to do it. It is, in short, knowledge of God represents perfection, which involves the total personality. It can't be just an abstract idea. That definitely is not enough. Definitely is not enough. The essence, and it works both ways. The knowledge doesn't affect him, and because of his defects in his character, he can't perceive certain ideas because he doesn't want to see certain things. So it's one, and Yadus is one. There's no way to separate the two. There are two types of knowledge an individual has to have. He has to have knowledge in a philosophical sense, and he must have knowledge in a personal sense. He has to delve into his personality. If he doesn't delve into his personality and change personality, it affects the philosophical knowledge, and that knowledge in terms of how much knowledge he will gain, and that knowledge which he has doesn't affect him in the right way. It doesn't relate to his essence. A person can't have a philosophical idea. There's no whole life. He'll be speaking privately. So this is a man, a philosopher. This is not what it means, that the ideas have no relation to the soul, to his essence. Okay? That's the concept of tshuva. That's what tshuva is das. That's what tefillah is involved in das also. So especially you see if a person studies the tefillahs and he's involved in the tefillahs themselves, the things that the tefillahs tell him he should ask for, he senses immediately these things are not in line with his emotions. So he has to bring his emotions in line with those ideas. In doing that, he perfects his nature, and he improves his vision in terms of his comprehension of God's knowledge on his level, knowledge of God on his level. Okay, so that's the idea of tshuva. Now, what I want to differentiate is between two things. In other words, there's a ma'aseh tshuva on a particular chait, in which the chait is nimcha, the chait is forgiven. But the ma'aseh tshuva brings a person into a different relationship between himself and God. That's an aspect of tshuva. That's why even if a person is a tzaddik gomor, Yom HaKippurim is for him. Because the Rambam says, even in Avera that a person did tshuva on last year, he could do tshuva on again. Why? Because in the process of understanding his nature, it helps him. The more he understands his nature, you see, it helps him in terms of his relationship to God. So that's why Yom HaKippurim knows for everybody. But Yom HaKippurim plays a role also insofar as Kiyum HaOlam is concerned, the Perek Gimel. So that tshuva comes under two different headings, two different frameworks. One is the personal, and the other one is in terms of Kiyum HaOlam. And it is an obligation on the part of every person to be involved, not just in the personal. That's a chasar, and that means something wrong. That's why I tell you that tefillah perfects a person. Because when a person gets a chaslichas, and he realizes that the purpose in his getting a chaslichas is because he's concerned about Kiyum HaOlam, this has to place him in a different relationship between himself and God. As a different perception of his relationship to God. His relationship to God, he has to have a certain level of Alas Hashem to be concerned with the Bria, to be concerned with people, concerned with humanity. You see, it's a different level. That's where the tefillah raises the individual to a higher level because of the nature of the tefillah. The person in the spiral, when he says, Ashiva Shoftenik Varashon of Yatsenik Vatchila, and he really bothers him that we don't have the Shoftim that we used to have. We don't have the true leaders. So that means that if that bothers him, that means he has to be on a certain level. The person in the spiral of Lama Hashim Al Tisik has to be on a certain level. The person in the spiral for the Rishlaim Yechabrach and Tashuv and Biyat Samashiach and Binyan Yishalayim and the Kabbat Fitzim Yachim Abba Kamasot Ratzaini, if these tefillahs are really effective, if he seriously prays for these things, he has to be on a certain level. So the purpose of the tefillah is that the person should realize what he should be concerned about. By doing that, he has to change his philosophical outlook. He has to look into his own nature. There are two types of knowledge, the philosophical and the personal. What you can't do without either one. That's why there's a big mistake, like the philosophers. Many of the philosophers, they were just concerned with philosophical knowledge. That was their system. Sounds right on. But without the psychological knowledge, you can't, God just maintains there's no such thing as perfection without, there's two types of knowledge. One is universals and one is particulars. Particulars with regard to himself. If he doesn't have the particulars with regard to himself, it's worthless. It's basically worthless. Okay, but I'm not saying that an idea, even though a person can incorporate it, has no benefit. I mean, there's some benefit to himself. To what degree? Only God knows. Only God can judge. But from a basic standpoint, it certainly is not a great change in his soul if he has an idea which doesn't affect him. So then he must correct himself by taking the mind and applying it to the particular knowledge. And that's the purpose of tshuva. But what I want to say is to answer the question that the Kesef Mishnah asks. The Kesef Mishnah's question was, how is it possible to say that the Beinoni, why do you have to say the Beinoni does tshuva if we say Maver Rishon Rishon? That's like this. If when the Rambam said V'yasa tshuva, Im asa tshuva nechta machayim, then Lav nechta lemisa. Over here, the Rambam's not talking about doing tshuva on his averus. The Rambam's not talking about doing tshuva on his averus. Why is it that the Beinoni doesn't live? Why is it the Beinoni can't exist? The answer is there cannot be any existence for human life unless there's some relationship to God. The Beinoni means that he's not related to God because he's equally drawn in both directions. See? He's his essential nature is not related to God. He's neutral. He's neutral. A neutral individual cannot continue to exist according to God's laws. So that's why it must be asachuva. It must be asachuva. Asachuva means the only possible process through which Beinoni is a certain state. Like the Rambam says, it doesn't mean 50-50, you count up the mitzvahs, count the errors. It means only God can judge us. It means a certain state of the soul. If the soul is in a state where it's neutral in its relationship to God, so then it can't continue to exist. There's only one method that can take place to remove the person from the state of neutrality, which is what? Tshuva. That's the only thing. Because tshuva is the only process by which a person changes his whole being, his whole nature. That's what Rambam didn't say, Asa mitzvah achas. So then he's going to will be a tzaddik gamur. No, because the Rambam's talking in terms of the framework of the individual. This individual is a neutral individual. There's only one step he has to do next. What's that step? That step has to be true. It's impossible to do it any other way. Just do another mitzvah would be like adding another. If you're going to count mitzvahs, you could say such a thing. Not counting of mitzvahs. It means improving his nature, changing his nature. Changing his nature is only one possible way to do it, and that's tshuva. There is no other way. That's what Rambam says, Masa tshuva is nechta mechayim. If not, so then it means that he's neutral in relation to his relationship to God. He can't continue to exist. Now, when the Rambam is talking about Maver Rishon Rishon, you see, Rambam's talking about a different area over there. The Rambam's talking about whether how the person is going to be judged insofar as what happens to the judgment insofar as the averis are concerned. In other words, a person has 500 averis, right? Now, how does God, is God going to punish him for the averis or not? Now, you realize if God would punish everybody for every avera, they wouldn't be able to walk down the street. They'd be in total torment. So that's where the Rambam says, Maver Rishon Rishon. In other words, if the Nechtam Lachayim, the Rambam's talking about whether he will continue to live on it. That is only if he does tshuva. It doesn't mean tshuva is there. Because he has no relationship to God, he can't exist. But if he does tshuva, not doesn't mean he does tshuva on all his averis. If he did tshuva on all his averis, he'd be a tzaddik gomor. You see? He wouldn't have to have any judgment on how he'd be a tzaddik gomor. He wouldn't need Maver Rishon Rishon. Asa tshuva means that he returned to God, Ana Hashem. If he implied the Ana Hashem and he returned to God and increased his Das Hashem, then he has a relationship to God. Then he's Nechta Mechayim. But now there's another question. The question is Nechta Mechayim. Fine. But what about all the averis that he has? If God punishes him for his averis, he's going to have a life of pain and suffering. He can't continue to exist. So God has tolerance. God created a system in which we could live peacefully. We can enjoy life. Otherwise, there's no life. So then it's Maver Rishon Rishon. That's what the Rambam means, Maver Rishon Rishon. But Maver Rishon Rishon doesn't mean that God simply wipes out the averis. Then he wouldn't have to do any tshuva. Then the Kesef Mishnah is right. It's a good question. Right? The answer is you're dealing with two different frameworks. Within the framework of existence is one question of his continued existence. That's Nechtam L'chayim if he did tshuva, because he has a relationship to God. But now there's a second question within the framework of Kiyum Ha'olam, and that is, how does God judge people? Does God exact punishment from a person the moment he sins? He wouldn't be able to walk down the street, wouldn't be able to breathe, make total pain all the time. The answer is Maver Rishon Rishon. Maver Rishon Rishon. That's a different process in terms of how God has done this world.
Okay.
And that's why you have the. That's the idea of the Kel Melech. That's the idea of the Kel Melech Yeshua El Kisei Rachamim. Mahar Rishon Rishon. That's the Rachamim. That's, by the way, this idea, this concept of Mahar Rishon Rishon is really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is this? You know, something becomes clear from this Rambam. You see, by the Rambam, by just making a third parak, parak gimel, and showing you that he's going into a different area over here, he opened up the whole idea of the gimel midos. You see, he opened up the whole idea. What kind of knowledge did Moshe Rabbeinu receive by the gimel midos? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Vayav Hashem apana v'ani aver kol tov apanecha, v'kras Hashem Hashem apanecha." And what kind of knowledge did he reveal to Moshe Rabbeinu? It was knowledge insofar as God deals with the world, with human existence. How does he deal with people? Does he exact punishment for a chet? What does he do? So Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's similar to Avraham Avinu, was engaged in an argument with God insofar as that area is concerned. But the one that received the highest level of knowledge in that area was Moshe Rabbeinu. That was by Yav HaShem. That's why it fits into Kisisa, for the parasha. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about the existence of Chal Yisrael. He was concerned it shouldn't be destroyed. So he wanted to gain knowledge and insight into how God deals insofar as human existence is concerned. What is the level? What is the cutoff level? Where is the tolerance level? And when Moshe Rabbeinu understood how God deals with the world, so he said, Hashem, Hashem, Kelech Midas, Rachum, Rachanan, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed, V'Emes. All those Midas are with regard to one framework. What is the framework? The framework of human existence. The framework of human existence. That's the Yigdil Midas. And that's why on Slichos, we say the Yigdil Midas. Because what is the purpose of Slichos, really? Like the Rambam says, the purpose of the Slichos is Kiyum Olam, concern with Kiyum Olam. The interesting thing is that the Gemara, that's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Kishabona Echotim Asu Lefonai Kaseder Hazer Va'ani Mochlam. What does it mean? It means that that's the principle of Yadis is that when can a person partake of the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When he understands Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if he doesn't understand them completely. But he says, he quotes the pasuk in which Moshe Rabbeinu was given the nevuah and the knowledge of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see? And he understands that there's a greater knowledge that was given, but he understands he doesn't have the full knowledge. But he just points to the knowledge. That itself is the highest level. That's what the Chazal mean. Kishabona echotin asu lefonai kaseder azeh bani mochlan. It means if they understand, if they have a comprehension, that there's a system of, deep system of chachma, the way I'm done the world, and that basically what Moshe Rabbeinu saw was Hashem Hashem tel rachon lachanan. That's what it means. Mavir rishon rishon, mav mechila chatoyim, mechila laposhim. Because we wouldn't be able to exist for a moment. If God were exact punishment from every other, we wouldn't be able to exist for a moment. That means it's Rachel Lachana. That's the Pshar Rachel Lachana. So through understanding the Yigdil HaMidos, relating to them in an intelligible way, an intelligent way, you see, then that is the greatest source for the person, it's the greatest source for the cloud. And because of that, they receive a mechila and kafara. That is the highest relationship, the highest level of relating to the Lord. That's why Yigdil HaMidos is the instrument through which the Kol Yisrael is saved. That's right, exactly. When the Rambam says, see, when the Rambam says that the person should do, he quotes the Gemara, that person should do, if he does one mitzvah, is machriya olam. He doesn't mean simply, like you said before, one mitzvah. Let's take a look in the very same halacha. He says, "Ur Yishem Mishnaschem, v'chitzu b'maaseichem, v'chizru b'shuva, v'zichru barachem." Zichru barachem. It all has to do with me, with the person relationship with Baruch Hu. And he goes through El Hashulchan, Therefore, lefichach tzarchad and kolam jiratzma kolashana kulukki lechetzi chayvet chetzi zaka. It means in a state of being, neutral state. He doesn't really have a relationship with God. And the whole world is in a neutral state. They don't have a relationship with God. So even though the Ram says, osam mitzvachas, but osam mitzvachas doesn't mean just one doing a mitzvah. Mitzvachas means mitzvah. That's what Ram says. He's osik in mitzvah, meisim, tovim, laharbos, bitzdokah, lasok, the mitzvahs, roshana, vada, yom, mitzvah means a total change of state, part of which is this tshuva. Without tshuva, it's impossible. That's what Ram said before. Chitzub masechem, lechizub b'shuva, eila shochem, and it's all the same thing. It doesn't, Ram doesn't mean a person, you know, it's silly. A person say, I'll make a bracha and I'll save the whole world. It means that he should change himself, his relationship to God. Mice and toes and stuck, all the things that make a person relate to God, to break the state of neutrality. You say. And the Yudimomitas themselves are the biggest, greatest instrument in breaking that state, because it relates a person to God in a rational way through mentioning the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu that were revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu in terms of the whole science of how God relates to the Kiyamola. True, you're right. But I was saying, so if you learn through the Slichas, you'll see that on the whole, it's for the Klal. On the whole, it's for the Klal. All the Slichas are usually for the Klal. Right, Monagas Olam Kulo, it's all Midas Rachamim. What is it? The Midas Rachamim is that if we would perceive the level of tolerance, you would say, a person wouldn't say that. A person, if he saw that, he'd say, no, there should be destruction. Too many verses. You got your exact punishment. How do you let a person get away with one of you? No punishment, no. God gives him free reign. Racham Yemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, insofar as a person's, the whole idea of Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Lachanan, Erech HaPayim Rav Chesed V'emes, so the Rambam says, I think even the Yad Chazaki mentions it, he says, it means a person would call this Racham. What is the main idea? A person would call this racham. A person would call this chana. Relationship to God, you can't have 13 meters. There are no attributes to God. Ram says that the Avodah Zarah, it's apokorsis, to say that God has meters. It means to say that a human being would call this racham. Human being would call God an Erech HaPayim. Erech HaPayim. You can't say God is an Erech HaPayim. A person, it's human terms. So what is the main idea of you doing meters? The main idea of the Yidduin Midos is that God's Rachamonis, God's relation, God's Hatova to the world is on a completely different framework. Completely different. We have no concept of it. Just like we can't be, just like it's impossible for us to be done, another individual, like the Rambam says, the only one that can do it is the Borei Olam. Even though we feel very secure that we can be judged, this guy, right? We say, oh, but yeah, this is that, that's another. But that's just a feeling. It's because we're operating with our emotions. In the same manner, the Yud Gimel Midos, what they say basically is that God's Hatova, God's goodness to this world is in a totally different dimension. Totally different dimension. It's impossible for a person, for a human being to perceive it because of his emotional nature would not allow it. The person would say that's Rachon, that's Hanun, Rachapayim, Rachesed, Venice. It means to say that he would never, if he couldn't, even Moshe Rabbeinu did much. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, by Rachapayim, he fell down. He could answer a shahar. That means to say that even Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't be massing how God, the extent of God, the public was. It's a totally different framework. It's the framework of the Creator. If we can't have that framework, impossible for us to pursue it. The only way to pursue it is the Borei Olam. That's the basic idea of the Yidduin Midos. Another thing is to see why it calls the Pesukim up. Why is it called all this Pesukim? Zakas no one to rub on the other thing. The reason is because you need Pesukim for this. What are the laws? What is the point of tolerance that God has insofar as allowing people to exist and insofar as he doesn't punish them for their avarice? You see, he doesn't punish them. That's Mavarishan Rishan. If he punished them for every avarice, they wouldn't be able to exist. They'd be in total reformance. The truth of Moshe Rabbeinu was not Olam Haba. God didn't say he's making a difference in Olam Haba. The Olam Haba is very nice, but the truth were really for Olam Hazel. The Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam. The scholar world should exist.
Yeah.
what Jeff mentioned is very good. That's why slichus can't be said by a yachid. Exactly, that's excellent. And that's why the yidnu midas can't be said by a yachid. Only the tzibur. Melamech and it's not there for Kadosh Baruch Hu, the shliach tzibur. It's only shliach tzibur because it's only Allah and the tzibur. The yachid can't say slichus. That's right. Very good. That's what Steve is mentioning is very true. That there's a person that tefillas atzibur nishmas tamid around themselves. That tefillas atzibur, it means that a person can sometimes be not be zelcha in terms of the yachid, but he can be zelcha in terms of the tzibur. As I mentioned many times, that the Rav said that the main tefillas on Rosh Hashanah Kippur really is the tzibur. Yachid, he says, can say tzidik adin, but the but insofar as if he wants to have any chance of human survival, that's based on the sense that's based on the tzibur. That's just tzibur. Sometimes a person's not a zelcha because yachid, but he's zelcha insofar as he's a part of the tzibur, and the tzibur needs him, and he's an integral part of the tzibur, so he can be zelcha to chayim because of the because he's an integral part of the tzibur. That's a good point that I was mentioning also. The vidui comes later. And even the vidui is b'taras rabim, Hashamnu, Bagadnu, even that's b'taras rabim. And Mishana, all of Mishana is a tzibur. All of tzibur. Yeah. The person is not tied into the tzibur in terms of his tilis. If his only concern is for himself, his personal security, his personal existence, he really doesn't have much of a part of, it, of the whole tilis of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or even the Mishna Yom of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's impossible. It's impossible for a person who is really, who is egocentric to really partake of the whole system of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And just by starting the tefillah, you say. I just want to mention the question of why Russia continues to exist. Somebody asked a question. You have to understand the Rambam is dealing with certain factors in isolation in terms of Kiyum Olam. He's dealing with the Yachid, for instance, in total isolation, so far as he's a Yachid. But it's like, you know, in terms of the real situation of Kiyum Olam, there are other factors involved. It's like Newton's law of inertia. The body will continue to travel in a straight line if no other forces imposed. But it just matters nothing to travel in a straight line because there are always other bodies that affect the any body that's in existence. But it's an ideal law. The Rambam is speaking in the ideal state. If the Yachid was only a Yachid by himself, so then he would cease to exist. The moment he's Beni doesn't do tshuva, he's a Russian. But in terms of Kiyum Olam, God, of course, there are other factors that God takes into consideration. Like you see the pasuk says by Paro, that Paro is a Russia, certainly. And the pasuk says, Rulam bavrozos hamaraticho, laman haros chaskochi, laman sapashim b'chol oretz. It means that the pasuk says, help me. God said that his continued existence is in order to glorify God's miracles, glorify God. So there are different considerations. The Rambam is only speaking theoretically. He's isolating this one aspect. But a Russia could exist for different reasons. A Russia might be, first of all, the question is, if you're trying to miss the question, how come a Russia doesn't die right away? So there's basically two answers. Both of them are true. They're not exclusive. One of them is that we really don't know what a Russia is. That's many times. Many times our judgment of Russia, we really don't know. But even if a person should be a Russia, it could be other reasons why that Russia exists in terms of how he affects others. You see, it could be for good, it could be for bad. I mean, Nazi Germany was certainly Rishayim, but apparently the Onish for Kali Yisrael and they were given existence until the time that the Onish was complete. Okay, so what I want to add is that the Tikkun Olam is a central part of the Tfilis. I mean, the whole Malchus, Sayyid Malchus, the whole Malchus is all Yeriko Pogaf Yalto, Maloch, Alam Kulu, whatever is true. Why is Tikkun Olam so central? Because God wants Tikkun Olam. Because it's God's will it should be Tikkun Olam. So our Tfilah for Tikkun Olam is tied very, very integrally with Avas Hashem. Okay. The only thing I'll mention in the way of the process of Mavir Rishon Rishon, I mean, of course, we don't understand the process. I mean, it's Midas Akash Baruch Hu, you don't need this Mavir Rishon Rishon. But I think we could have some idea of what it means, at least. Basically, it means like this. The first Tuchatayim, as he says, what's the idea that God is doesn't count them in terms of weighing the various mitzvahs. It means that he's looking for the state of the soul. And the first two times, the Gemara says, the third time already becomes like a irregular, affects his nature. Now, if he turns out to be a Beinoni, so it means to say that his nature is not inherently bad. So every Chayt is really like a Rishon already. See, if he's not a Beinoni, so it means that his nature is riddled with evil. So he has an evil nature. So in the first Chayt also, he gets Nenefar. But see, in the first one is an indication. That's why a person can't say, I'll do the first two Chatorim. You know what I mean? Because I mean, if he really is doing the first two, because he believes in Chayt, that's what he wants to do. So that means it's a part of his nature. He's not going to be able to the next chayt he does might be a small chayt, but it's going to be indicative of his whole nature. So it's an impossible thing to consciously try to do such a thing. But Mavir Rishon Rishon, the basic idea, I think, is that if he's a Beinoni, so every chayt means is like a chayt Rishon, because it hasn't affected his nature.
That's it. Qualitative.
Yeah, it's qualitative. Yeah, right. That's right. That's right. But this, of course, insofar as the real state of a soul, this process is necessary. What is this process necessary for? It's necessary for to judge whether he'll get an onish on this world, whether he'll be an onish, what the level of God's tolerance is insofar as chayt is concerned. So the answer is a Beinoni. God considers every chayt like a Rishon. He doesn't punish him for it. And that's why there's no punishment. So therefore, he can live this earthly existence in peace. He's not, he doesn't get an onus. That's what it means. So the process, again, the process of Rishon is insofar as onus in this world is concerned. That's important. Otherwise, you don't need this whole thing. It really explains something else also. It explains what happens in Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. You know, that's an area that you seldom see explained and you're taking up. In other words, the question is, what does whatever you know that only Yisurim and Makam of Onos Shalom, right? So Yisurim take away a person of Averis. The question is, how much Yisurim do we get for Averis in this world and how much is left for the next world? You know what I mean? Like, that's a big question. We don't know the answer to that. But over here, you see in a general way, that is a general principle, God does not give a person an Onos. If he's a Beinoni, then you will not give him an onus insofar as the particulars is concerned. But it'll affect him in terms of the next world. There's a different judgment insofar as this earthly existence. Otherwise, there couldn't be existence on this planet. There's a different judgment in terms of this earthly existence in terms of the state of the soul. That's a different thing altogether. Could be that's what the Gemara means, Yisurin Shalava. Yisurin Shalava means that there's a special tzaddik that God... And the Gemara says, it's an interesting Gemara. Gemara says, Chazal, let's say, how come you see certain tzaddikim have tremendous onshim? So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medaktik in tzaddikim kechut asara. Gemara says that. With regard to, I think, Nachum Ish Gamzu, with different people. If God is medaktik with tzaddikim kechut asara, what does it mean, medaktik kechut asara? It means that the average person just goes under the general rule of the Chayei Olam Hazeh, because there has to be a society, it has to be a Chayei Olam Hazeh. But a tzaddik is under a special hashgacha, so he, God, could give him an onish in this world, which corrects him so that his soul is in a state of perfection in the next world. A different kind of, he has a special relationship with God. And that's why he can't look at a tzaddik and say, how come he had this honor? He has a benefit because that's tzaddikim HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik kechut asara. But he means he's outside the realm of the general laws of human existence. He's on a different realm. He's in a different realm. Your opinion raised the question of Hashgacha Pratius and judgment. Judgment Hashgacha Pratius, two different things. Hashgacha Pratius means the person is constantly under, so to speak, I mean, I hate to put it this way, but like he's under he's in line with a certain power. I mean, it doesn't mean, I don't, it's a bad word to use, but it means he's under God's Hashgacha. It means he's operating in a different realm of reality. His reality is affected by the fact that he relates to God. So he bypasses the laws of nature, so to speak. It's a different kind of thing. Judgment, everybody has judgment. That's under Ramban says that Ace Pekudasa, Ramban says no Chamash. Ramban says the same thing, that the average person, Ene Hashem Ali Reyot, went to Tzadikim. But he says that everybody, Ace Pekudasa means when God judges him. That's a different thing. Judgment is different than Hashgacha. Totally different phenomenon. Good point.